We said that the Masilas Yesharim says that there are three types of people, and each one has a different incentive to be careful in what they do in this world. The people on the highest level, their incentive is that they won't be able to reach their full potential for perfection. Regular people aren't interested too much in perfection. So the average person is more concerned about his personal covet in the world to come. That in this world he understands that the covet is an important thing to a person. And we explained last time that there's a kosher covet also, a covet of self-respect, self-esteem, which is a positive kind of covet, and that's something that a person should be concerned about, even in this world. And he can understand from that that his status in the next world, of his self-worth, if he's going to be not going to get the covet that he could have gotten, he's going to be eternally upset. So that's an incentive for the for a person a little bit lower than that. For the hamonam, for the average person, he says, "Ache or lechol hamon." What is the we're in Perek, the middle of Perek Dalet. Ache or lechol hamon. What page is it on the one we have here?
21.
Okay. But that which gives an incentive to the common person, most people, and like we said, this may not apply to them in our times. But even the common person, this doesn't speak to the common person today. Hinehu be'inyan aschar va'onish atzman bira'os omekadin ad heichem magia. Most people will be influenced and motivated by schar and onish, by what's going to be their ultimate reward or punishment in the next world, when they understand how serious and how deep the reward and punishment go. Asher be'emes roy lizdazeya lizchari tomid. A person should be constantly afraid of what his status is going to be in the next world, legabe reward and punishment. Ki mi yamud biyom hadin umi yitztak lifnei boro ba'asher hashkafaso midakdekes al kol dover katan o gadol. That person has to tremble, realizing he's going to be but judged, and that the Rabbanu Shel Olam takes everything into consideration, large and small and large. Now, the idea is that in an earthly court, there are certain things that are so small that they're not important, that they're overlooked, because they're too small to deal with, right? And there are certain things that are too big to really be medactic in. For instance, somebody murdered thousands of people. So you can't kill them 1,000 times. So it's the same if somebody murdered one person or somebody murdered 1,000 people. It's so big that you can't be medactic to make sure the guy gets a punishment that fits his crime because it's too big. And there's certain things that are too small that that are so trivial that nobody cares about and they're just overlooked. But the Rabbanu Shel Olam is not like that. By the Rabbanu Shel Olam, in the future, every action, no matter how small and insignificant and trivial it may have seemed, is going to be rewarded or punished. And because the punishment's not to get even with the person, the punishment is a tikkun. And that there's nothing that happens that doesn't have some kind of reaction, that doesn't have some kind of consequence, and needs to be compensated for, no matter how big or how small it may be. And the same thing goes with no matter how big it is. And things are not going to be judged just on how much you did in one way or how much you did the other way. The biggest tzaddik is going to be punished for the smallest averas that he did. And the biggest rasha is going to be rewarded for the smallest mitzvahs that he did. Right? A person who's mechal Shabbos is not just going to be judged because he was mechal Shabbos. Every prat of Shabbos that he did, right, is going to be judged. Every cigarette he smoked, everything he did, whether it was the Rabbanan, the Oraisa, whatever, is going to be judged. Right? Nothing is just going to be overlooked or just, general. Everything specific. The chain omru rabosein uzal umagid lo adam masicho afilu sicha kala shabein ish le ishto magidim lo adam shasadin. Even seemingly trivial talk between a husband and wife is going to be judged if it was proper, improper, if it was proper, improper. We'll leave it at that. Right? What kind of it seems trivial, it seems unimportant, right? The husband and wife talk to, it's private to themselves, nobody else is affected. But even that, while a person spoke to, in his most intimate things that affect nobody else, every word is going to be judged. The Amru, Usviv of Nishara Ma'ot, that Adarabba, nobody is so big that he's so good that the Rabbanu Shem just overlooks his sins. Just the opposite. The more on the higher level, the more of a tzaddik a person is, the more of a chassid, the more he's judged on what seems to be trivial things for other people. Because that person on his level, it weren't trivial to him. So somebody would say that therefore it's better not to be on a high level. Better remain on a low level so you get judged. Yeah, but there's also an idea in this world of trying to reach higher and higher levels. So a person who remains on a low level who had the potential to be on a higher level is going to be judged very harshly for not getting on that higher level. And if he gets on the higher level, he'll be judged on his actions according to his level, but that's going to be a lot less serious than not getting to that level to begin with. In other words, there's no excuse to reach a higher level because there's a greater risk. Right? I'd rather be judged on a lower level than be on a higher level. You have a responsibility to get on a higher level, and you're going to be judged why you didn't get on that higher level, and that's much more serious. Similarly, it says that people who live in Eretz Yisrael are judged much more harshly than people who live in Chutz Laretz. You get a worse onish for your Avedras in Eretz Yisrael because they're Bepaltra and Shomelech, but you get a lot more schar for the mitzvahs you do. So a person would say, well, I don't want to live in Eretz Yisrael because I'm going to be judged more harshly. I'd rather, you know, just stay out of Eretz Yisrael and not. That's the same thing as, like we said, saying, I don't want to be in a higher level. A Talmud Chacham is judged much more harshly than an Amharit. But there's a mitzvah to be a Talmud Chacham, as much as you can be, to learn as much as you can. So you can't absolve yourself and say, well, I'll stay in a lower Madrega because then I won't be judged so harshly. You have a responsibility to be on the higher mandra. Same thing. You may have a responsibility to live in Eretz Yisrael. So live in Eretz Yisrael and accommodate yourself to the environment. Instead of saying, well, I'd rather take the easy way out, the person is judged also for taking the easy way out. So it's a no-win situation. Avram Avinu was Avram, beloved by the Rabbanu Shalom. Avram Ohavi. The Rabbanu Shem called him Avram, my beloved. Lo polet min adin mit nedvorim kalim shlo diktik bohem. Avram Avinu was not spared being punished for seemingly very small things that he did. For instance, al shomer b'mo eda, omer la kodesh baruch hu chayecha yadoa teda ki geri yezaracha. Right? Because Avram Avinu said, last week's sedra, how do I know that the Jewish people will inherit Eretz Yisrael? It seemingly, he was Mahar Achar Midos Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him something, and he questioned it, seemingly. See, it's not exactly like that, which even makes it more serious. So the Rabbanu Shem punished him. Now, seemingly, the punishment was that he told him, your children are going to be slaves in Egypt for 210 years. And in fact, the Gemara says that. Ma osa Avram Avinu shenenash v'nishtabdu bonov b'mitzrayim mosayim v'yeser shana. What did Avram Avinu do that his children were enslaved in Egypt for 210 years? So one of the things, Gemara says three things, one of them is what he brings down, that he asked, b'mo eida ki roshena. How do I know they'll inherit Eretz Yisrael? So, few problems here. First of all, just understand what he's saying. I mean, if it's a punishment, why would Avram Avinu do something wrong and his children be punished? He should be punished, not his children. Secondly, did he do something wrong? What, when he asked, he didn't question God's promise. He just wanted to know what merit the Jewish people would have to inherit Eretz Yisrael. Maybe they won't deserve it. Right? Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it dependent on their merit, so what merit will they have? Because if you don't have the merit, then the promise could be bottled. Even a prophecy can be bottled if you don't merit it, if you sin. So what's going to guarantee that the Jewish people will merit it? And the Rabban Shem understood what he said, because that's the answer he gave them. Right? Karbanos. He told them, the schus of karbanos, and when there are no karbanos, reading the karbanos, learning about them, whatever, that's the schus that Klal Yisrael has. So, first of all, why isn't Avram punished? Why is his children punished? And secondly, what was the sin? So, we always explain that we're not talking about sins that somebody is punished for because they did something wrong. But there was a pagam. Sin, chet, means chisorin. Something's missing. And something has to compensate for that which is missing in order to make it more whole. So if there's a blemish in the roots, in the foundation of the Jewish people, that blemish somehow has to be corrected. So now I'm talking about somebody getting punished because they did something wrong and we're going to get even with them or whatever. We're talking about a tikkun for some kind of blemish that was created. And we explained that the blemish was that Avraham Avinu gave the impression that the Jewish people need an external merit to deserve Eretz Yisrael, and that it's not something that's intrinsic to Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara says that that's not true. The Gemara says, Omad Vayimodei Aretz HaKadosh Baruch Hu measured all the lands, and he didn't find a land more suitable for Klal Yisrael than Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't find a people more suitable to Eretz Yisrael than Klal Yisrael. We fit each other like a glove. We're a holy people, and with a Hashgacha Pratis, with a direct relationship with God, and this is a holy land that has a direct relationship with God. So we fit each other like a glove. If Avraham Avinu questioned that the Jewish people need some kind of other merit, that means that the Jewish people and Eretz Yisrael are not on the same wavelength. They need something to connect them. It's not automatic. It's not intrinsic. If that's the case, then it puts into question the whole essence of what the Jewish people are and what Eretz Yisrael is. And therefore, it created a blemish in the foundation of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was developing from Avraham Avinu, and because of his misunderstanding, there's a blemish in that foundation. Avraham is the foundation. If he doesn't understand the connection between Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael, it blemishes the foundation. Somehow, that had to be corrected. So how do you correct the foundation? You don't put super glue in a crack in the foundation. You take away that part of the foundation till after the crack, and you rebuild it. You can't correct it. You have to lay the cement again. You can't just fix the blemish. So that's what had to happen. Klal Yisrael had to go through Shibud Mitzrayim to correct that blemish. It wasn't a punishment for the children because of what the father did. It was a result of what Avraham Avinu caused, the blemish. The blemish had to be fixed up. That was the way to fix it up. That's one way of learning. Another way of thinking is that the Gemara is talking about two different things. Avraham Avinu, whatever his question was, right? But trust in God. What do you have to know, right? What merit the Klal Yisrael are going to have? Don't worry, the Rebbe will take care of it. He made you a promise, right? You're not the one who has to worry about that, right? It seems like you're, even though not questioning what God said, meaning I don't believe it or I'm not sure it's going to happen, I know it'll happen. But I'd like to understand more how it's going to happen. That's not your business. Accept the present and say thank you. Right? You have to know. So then Avram was punished. Not that his children were in Shibud Mitzrayim. Shibud Mitzrayim happened for whatever reasons the Jewish people needed that, whether it was a kapara of Mechiras Yosef, or it was not a kapara at all, which is something they needed to be able to get the Torah, whatever it is. That's their cheshbon. But Avram didn't have to know about it. God didn't have to tell him that before it happened, he should know this is going to happen to his children. That is the punishment. You want to know? I'll tell you. Well, you want to know too much? I'll tell you things that you don't have to know, and then they'll give you tzar. Mida keneged mida. That's what it says. Nipnei ma what's it called? It says, Mipnei manenash Avram Avinu, v'nishtab dubonav. Not shenishtab dubonav. Not that Avram was punished in so far that his children were nishtabit. Two separate things. Mipnei manenash Avram Avinu, he didn't know about it. And nishtab dubonav is a separate thing. Children were nishtabit for whatever reason. But why would Avram have to know about that? Why did God have to say, yodoa teda? Not that the onish is not what happened. The onish is the yodoa teda. You have to know about it. You want to know? You have to know everything? Fine. Know this too. That's the midah keneged midah. So even this Avram Avinu, who is God's beloved, does a little thing wrong, it has to be compensated for. It's like it's in nature. Everything that happens has a natural result. And everything happens. Nothing's overlooked. It's a world of cause and effect, and in a spiritual world, there's no less cause and effect. And nothing is overlooked. Everything makes an impression. Kigeri ve'al shikoras brisim avimelech belot shivuyo shel makom, and Avram made a bris in this week's Sedra with Avimelech, right, without being commanded to do such a thing. You made this bris. Klal Yisrael are going to take 7 generations to be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and when they could have gotten it earlier had you not made this covenant with Avimelech. Yaakov ashechora apo berochel sheomra lo hova libonim omru v'medrishlal omra lo akadosh baruch hu kach only mema es hamaukos chayecha shebonecha omdim lefnei benoah. So Yaakov Avinu, because he got upset with Rachel when she said, if you don't give me children, I'm going to die. So Yaakov said, am I God? Atachas Elokim ani? What are you coming to me for? Davin to the Rabban Hashem. So the Rabban Hashem said to him, this is the way you speak to people who are oppressed, depressed, distressed, right? It's not the way you speak to them. Adarab, you should have been more sensitive, right? You were right, right? Rachel Imenu perhaps didn't express herself the proper way, but she meant also needs explanation. But on their level, perhaps Rachel Imenu should have said it a little bit differently. So you were right to give her some mussar, but this is not the way to speak to somebody in distress. You should have spoken with more sensitivity. And because you didn't, what's the reaction? Right? Here again, the punishment doesn't seem to be anything great. Your children are going to, going to stand before her children, meaning that what's it called, Rachel Yosef, right, the other Shvatim, but Yosef was also Yaakov's child, right, but it means your children from a different wife have to stand in front of her children, right, so it's not a punishment, again, it's a compensation, right, because of that, right, there's going to have to be some kind of compensation for Leah's children and Rachel's children. And Rachel's going to have it made up to her by having her child be on the top to make that up to the insensitivity that affected Rachel in this world. It's going to be compensated for it. It made an impression on the world, and that's going to have to be corrected. That blemish is going to have to be corrected. Ulefisha Nosson is Dina Bateva, Kadesha Yikha Esav, Afa Pisha Kaval Nosso Haisa Vadi Latova. This one needs a lot of explanation. The Medrash says that Yaakov Avinu, when he met Esav, hid Dina in a box, that Esav shouldn't see her because he was afraid that if Esav would see her, he'd want to marry her and he wouldn't be able to refuse him. And Dina would end up marrying Esav. So the Rabban Hashem had a tain on him. You held back a chesed from your brother. Perhaps if Dina would have married Esav, she would have been mashpia on him and turned him into a tzaddik. So you didn't, want to marry her to somebody who had a bris milah. According to this, Esav is a big shiloh whether Esav had a bris or not, because he was born all red. And you don't mal a child who's totally red. So Shiloh was, if later on they did give him a bris, or they never gave him a bris. But he, from this matter, is mashma that he did have a bris. Right? He was a mohel. So you didn't want to marry her off to a circumcised person. Somebody uncircumcised is going to attack her. All right, that was the onus. So a few questions here. First of all, Yaakov Avinu was supposed to take the risk of letting Dina marry Esav in hope that she'll be mashpia on him, right? And maybe the other way. Maybe Uncle Esav mashpia on the little girl Dina and the niece. Right? Esav was not, you know, some guy who just, you know, wasn't medactic in Hilchos Shabbos. He was Esav HaRosha. So how in the world could he be sure that Dina would be mashpia on Esav? So some say, you see here the power of a woman. Right, that if he would have let Dina marry Esav, it would be pretty clear that Dina would have mashpia on Esav, not the other way, based on a medrash. The medrash says that there was a tzaddik and a tzaddikus that were married, and they got divorced. And the tzaddik married a rishita, and the tzaddikus married a rasha. And in the end, the tzaddikus made her husband the rasha into a tzaddik, and the rishita turned her husband the tzaddik into a rasha. And the Medrash ends, Mikan Shakol Toli Beisha. A woman has a tremendous power of persuasion. And the woman, the chances that the woman will be mashpi on the man are much greater than the man be mashpi on the woman. And that's why the Matan Torah, the Ravon Shalolam, told Moshe Rabbeinu to approach the women first, and that the women then would convince their husbands and children to be Makabel the Torah. According to the Marsha, the Moshe Rabbeinu only approached the women. Not that he approached the women first. He was supposed to approach the women and convince them to accept the Torah, and then the women would go and convince their husbands and children to accept the Torah too. Moshe wouldn't have to do anything with the men. The women would take care of the men. So some say that that's what this medrash means too. Yaakov Avinu should have had trust in the power of his daughter that she could be mashpia on Esav. And therefore, he should have married off. But Lamais, very difficult to say that every woman, especially an Ace of Arosha, Dina, should be able to, for sure. At least it was a Shiloh. So, therefore, it would come out from here that every father should choose Shiduchim for his daughter on people that she could mashbi on. Don't look for a Tzaddik or a Talmud Chacham, right? Go to the Tel Aviv bus station, get a drug addict, right, who's drunk on the floor, kick him, wake him up and say, have I got a girl for you, right? I have a daughter that, probably turned your life around. So you're interested, right? Is that the way you're supposed to look for Shaduchim? Find the worst person you can find and marry your daughter off in hope that she'll be mashpi on him. Obviously, a father doesn't have to do that and he's not allowed to do such a thing. So how could Yaakov Avinu be held responsible for not doing that? And besides that, if Yaakov already sinned, then why is Dina punished? Why isn't Yaakov punished? Right? Punish his daughter. And why this punishment? What's the Mida Keneged Mida? So the Alter from Slabodka says the following. He says Yaakov Avinu did 100% halachically what he was supposed to do. He hid Dina. He wasn't allowed to take a risk with Dina's Olam Haba. Right, that maybe she'll be mashpi on Esav, and maybe Esav mashpi on her. So the halacha is, when you have such a situation where you don't know what to do, if you do this, it's bad or good. If you do this, it's bad or good. Then the halacha is shev d'altasa. Don't do anything. Don't do anything. So he was right to put her in a box and hide her, not to take the risk. So what was the sin? Says the Alter from Slabodka, when he nailed the nails into the box, he did it with a little bit too much enthusiasm. Yaakov Avinu should have been crying and saying, I wish I could be mashpia on my brother, but I can't take a chance with my daughter. So I would love to be mashpia on my brother, but I can't take a chance with my daughter. So I have to hide her. That's halacha. But it should have bothered him. He should have knocked in those nails with difficulty. But he didn't. Didn't bother him that much. That's what the Rabban Hashem saw. It didn't bother him as much as it should have. Right? Should have wanted to mashpi on Esav. So therefore, the Rabban Hashem said, I sense over here that it's not so much because of your desire to protect your daughter that you're hiding her, but it's your lack of desire to be mashpi on Esav. There's something missing, right? If they be equal, but what can I do? I have to hide her. That's fine. But He didn't have that much of a desire to be mashpia on Esav. And therefore you're going to be punished. What's the punishment? Dina had her reason why she had to go through what she went through. But Yaakov was affected. What was the Rabban Shul's message to Yaakov? If you're really so concerned about your daughter, how did you let her go and get attacked? How did you not, what's it called, protect her? How did you not see to it that she didn't go stop walking around in places where she could be attacked? You're so concerned about your daughter, you should have been more concerned in how to protect her. Elamai, you weren't so concerned about your daughter. So why'd you hide her? Because you weren't so concerned about Esav. It's Mamash Mida Kenegemida, showed Yaakov Avinu. And again, we're talking on Yaakov's level. It wasn't that he wasn't concerned. He was concerned 99%, not 100%. The Rav Moshe sensed in the way he put her in the box that it wasn't only out of concern for his daughter that he did it, but there was a certain lack of concern for Esav. And for that, Yaakov Avinu was punished. Not that his daughter was attacked, but that he was affected by the attack. If he didn't deserve to be affected by the attack, it wouldn't have happened. But he deserved to get what he got from it. Why? Because of this.